We live in a world of broken promises. Your mailbox, your email, they are filled up with people promising you things that they can't deliver. You cut on the television and you see commercial after commercial, them promising you stuff that they can't deliver. They promise you, hey, if you'll do our little plan, 20 pounds will be gone in 20 days. And they cannot deliver. They say, if you'll use our little product, your hair will be thicker and richer and longer. And they just cannot deliver. A father promises his child, I'll be there at that game. I'll be at that recital. I'll be at that play. And that little child walks out and looks out. And the father didn't deliver. You have companies and they promise you, oh, you've worked. You've been faithful to this organization. But yet because of some cutbacks, they let you go after years of faithfulness. And they do not keep their promises. Well, we come to this passage of Scripture, and in a world that does not keep their promises, we have a God that does. And we have a God that you can build your life upon this book. Our God always keeps His promises. He never fails. He never lies. There has never been one instance where He does not keep His word. And that's what Peter talks to us about today. Four truths that you can take to the bank. Sermon's entitled, Precious Promises. The first truth I want you to see is notice these precious promises, verse 4. You see that first word, whereby? Whereby are giving unto us exceeding great and precious promises. So whereby ties verse 4 back to verse 3. So if you look at verse 3, he talks about our knowledge of Christ. So get this. As you understand Christ, as you understand Jesus, as you understand His sacrifice for your redemption, your knowledge of Christ, when you accept Him as your Savior, it gives you precious and great and humongous promises. I remember a long time ago, kindergarten graduation. I remember that little white robe they have. They still have a picture of me somewhere. That little blue hat they had on me. And I came out and I was ready to conquer the world. Kindergarten completed. Whew, downhill from here. Now I get to go to first grade. Well, that's what he's saying here. Your knowledge of Jesus, your understanding of Jesus, your acceptance of Jesus opens up some precious promises. You say, okay, what is a promise? A promise is an announcement of something or something that someone is going to do. So, I give you my word. I give you my promise. You can trust me that this will happen. My grandpa used to say, boys, if I tell you tomorrow is Christmas, you better put up your stockings. Well, what he was saying was, I keep my word. You can depend upon what I'm saying. Now look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. They're going to put it on the screen. For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen unto the glory of God by us. You know, what's it talking about? Men break their promises. Men say, oh, we're going to do this, and then they don't show up. Has that ever happened to you? You call, you got some kind of problem in your life, and the plumber or the electrician or whoever it is, I'll be there tomorrow at 10 o'clock. And they don't call you. They don't text you. They don't send you a telegram. They just do not show up. This verse says, God always keeps His promises. But look back at the verse. It says they are exceeding great and precious promises. Now, the exceeding great means very great. Or in in our political environment, it's huge. It's gigantic. It's massive. So look at it. Exceeding great and precious promises. So they're promises from God. That is wonderful. But it says they're precious promises from God. That's even more wonderful. But then it says they're great precious promises from God. That's enough to make a Baptist grab his hanky. But then it says, no. They're exceeding great and precious promises. Let me illustrate it like this. I like cakes. I love cakes. So if the girls come and they say, hey, Daddy, we're making some cake. Well, I love that mix. Now, I don't know if it's good for you to eat, but I get a little bit excited. Just, who's going to get the bowl? And hey, you're going to leave a little bit of stuff in the bowl, aren't you? I mean, that's good. You got cake mix. But when that cake comes out of the oven, oh, it's hot. That's what I'm comparing to precious promises. Oh, but when they pour that icing on top of it, glory to God. And then when they get the ice cream to go on the cake with the icing, I got my hanky and I'm waving it. Now listen. Don't miss it. Your acceptance of Jesus brings you promises, but they're not just promises. They're precious promises. They're not just precious promises. They're great precious promises. And they're not just great precious promises. They are exceeding great precious promises. So what are some of these exceeding great and precious promises? Let me just give you a few. They're going to put them on the screen. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. You say, hey, Jackson, how do you know you're going to be in heaven? And I say, the promise of Almighty God. You say, what else? Philippians 4, verse 13. He promised me power and strength to handle the stuff that comes into my life. I can do all things, whatever hits me tomorrow, I can handle it. How? Through Christ, my Savior, the one I accepted, through Christ, which gives me strength. Philippians 4:19. He promised me provision, but my God shall supply all your need, not according to my riches, but according to His riches in glory. How? By Christ Jesus. So when you're going through financial hardship and you're going through financial difficulty, you have exceeding great and precious promises of provision, not from some rich guy, not from some employer, but from God Almighty to you. Hey, listen to this one. God has promised every heartache and every difficulty and everything that I don't like. Listen to what He's promised. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. All things, even car tear-ups, even flat tires, even the most gruesome, hurtful experiences, God says, I will bring good out of them. I will bring fruit even out to those who love me, to those who have accepted my Son. Hey, listen to this one. Psalm 84, verse 11. I love this verse. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. Sun gives direction. Shield gives protection. The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace, the power to do what we're supposed to do, and glory, promotion. Look at the last part of the verse. No good thing. Nothing will He withhold from them who walk uprightly. Exceeding great and precious promises you get when you get Jesus. You get when you accept Jesus. When you take Jesus, the promises are available to you. Number one, precious promises. Secondly, notice, privileged people. Now look at verse 4. Whereby are given unto us. If you're writing your Bible, circle that word us. Now verse 3 tells us that God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. But verse 4 says His promises are given unto us. Those that have accepted Jesus, have knowledge of Jesus, and have accepted Him as Savior and Lord, He gives these precious promises to. Now, I can understand if these promises were given to the archangels. Yeah. They got an understanding of Jesus. I can understand if He had given it to the archangels. I could have understood if He had given them to the angels. Yeah, they are servants. They are messengers of God. I could have understood that. I could have understood if He would have given it to the patriarchs. Oh, yeah, those founders of the faith, those that stepped out and blazed trails, I could have understood if He had given it to the patriarchs. I could have understood if He had given it to the priests, those that were doing those sacrifices, looking for the perfect sacrifice. I could have understood if He had given these precious promises to the priests. I could have understood if He'd given it to the kings. You know, that great lineage, oh, King David and King Solomon. I could have understood if He would have given it to them. I could have understood if He'd given it to the judges. Those judges that led Israel there to seek God, to follow after God. I could have understood if He'd given it to the disciples. I could have understood if He'd given it to those early church fathers. Look what the verse says. Whereby are given unto, doesn't say archangels, it doesn't say angels, it doesn't say patriarchs, it doesn't say priests, it doesn't say judges, it doesn't say kings, it doesn't say disciples, it doesn't say early church leaders. It says, whereby are given unto us. That's me. That's you. If you've accepted Him as your Savior, these precious promises are given unto you. Us, the fickle. Us, the forgetful. Us, the fearful. Us, the complainers. Us, the complacent. Us, the confused. Us, the conceited. Us, who were His enemies, us who were outcasts, us who were outside the camp, us who were without hope, us who were brought nigh by the blood of Christ, us who were redeemed, not with corruptible things as silver and gold from our bench conversation received by traditions from the Father, but with the precious blood of Christ, us who have been made joint heirs with Christ and accepted of the blood. He has given these precious promises to you. Struggling in your marriage, there's a promise for you. Struggling with your finances, there's a promise for you. This book, you just got to take it and claim it for you. You that's struggling, man, my kids, they're going down a wrong path and they just won't listen to me. There's a promise in this book that's exceeding great and promise, and it was given directly for you. I love my wife. Crazy infatuated with her. The other day, she asked me to do something that I never do. She asked me to go to Walmart. Now, I'm not a Walmart kind of guy. And so I go to Walmart. And there was a lady in line in front of me at Walmart. And she had coupons. Now, I like coupons. And I like people that are frugal and like saving money. And so if she wants to throw down a few coupons, I'm all in favor of that. This lady didn't have a few coupons. She had a filing cabinet, a few coupons. Oh, that's expired. I'm sorry. Hang on a second. I got another one. Oh, wait a minute. That's not the right product. Let me go through here. And I don't like Walmart. And I don't like coupon folders. So I did a spiritual thing rather than blowing my top. I went to a different line. That's what you're supposed to do with these promises. The devil comes and says, your kids are gone. They're never coming back. You say, no. I have a coupon, an exceeding great and precious promise that train them up in the way they should go. And when they're old, they will not depart from it. God, bring them back. God, bring them back according to your word. God, you know I don't have money to fix the car, but I got a promise, and I'm claiming that promise. You said you would provide all of my needs. God, you know this is not greed. This is reality. So right there, that's not just written to someone at some point in history. It is written for me, and I take that coupon. If you can use coupons at Walmart, you can use precious promises in your prayer life. Number two, privileged people. Thirdly, powerful partakers. Look on in this verse. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Notice those next three words. That by these. Well, what is the these talking about? Well, it's referring back to the exceeding great and precious promises. So these exceeding great precious promises, they make us that we might be partakers of the divine nature. So you get to have God working on your behalf. You get to bring divinity into your humanity by these promises. You get to bring Jesus into your job scenario by the promises. So understand this. You're stuck. You're in the mire. You cannot get yourself out. But these promises help you get out of the muck and the mire and the mess. You're not getting it. A couple of weeks ago, we had a cow problem at our house, and a cow died. Well, when a cow dies, you got to bury it. Well, one of my good buddies teaching me how to bury cows, he said, you go and you find a low spot and hope it's wet, and you dig a hole, and you put the cow in that low spot so it's easy for you. So that's what I did. I went to a low spot, a little bit wet. It's been raining for like a month now, and I dug a hole, and I got stuck. I mean, not a little bit stuck. I got a lot stuck. So I go into the house. I say, hey, honey, I'm stuck. David is gone out of the country. Tori's gone out of the country. I need you to get on that other tractor and pull me out. She said, I don't know how to drive the tractor. And I said, I'll teach you. She said, I don't want to learn. I'm not driving that tractor. So I get Reagan on the other tractor, and she pulls me out. And I'm thankful to the Lord for that. The next day, the cow still hadn't been buried. So I go back to finish the job. I mean, it didn't rain that morning, so I go back to finish burying the cow. Guess what happened to me? I got stuck again. A lot worse than I did the first day. So I go back in the house and Reagan's not at home. I said, Tracy, I need you to help pull me out. She said, I don't know how to drive the tractor. And I said, I'll teach you. And she said, I don't want to learn. I was like, there's nobody else here. Get on the tractor. She got on the tractor. She couldn't pull me out. I was stuck. I called my godly, sainted neighbor. I said, I'm stuck really bad. Can you pull me out, honest to God? He comes down there, drop of a hat. He walks up there and he says, boy, you got that thing stuck. And I said, that's why I called you. He pulls up his chain to it. He tries pulling me. He can't pull me out. He gets his other, we have a caravan going. He gets his other tractor. We got two tractors pulling my red tractor out of the mud, and he gets me out. And I'm shouting and praising Jesus. Listen. I don't know what you're stuck in. Let me speak into your soul. I don't know what your hang-up is. Jesus can get you out. if it's marital, if it's sexual, if it's substance, whatever that the world has got its grip on you, and you say, I can't get out. Every avenue and every trick that I tried, I just get further and further and further in the mess. And you'll never get yourself out. The way you get yourself out of the mess, exceeding great and precious promises meant not for someone in history, for you. Today, right where you're living. The question is, will you take them? Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What's it talking about? Look back at the verse. He's made us to be partakers. He has made us to be joint heirs. He has made us so that we have access to all that Jesus has access to. So I'm stuck with my tractor. I'm stuck in the mud. But I had a friend that had power, that had two tractors that pulled me out. Listen. You have God Almighty in the form of Jesus. And he says, whatever your situation is, whatever your problem is, whatever your hang-up is, you can get out of that mess. Because you are partakers. You are in fellowship. You are in agreement. You are in connection with me so that all I have is available to you. But you got to take it. Number three, powerful partakers. Number four, and I'm done. Preserved participants. Notice the last part of the verse. Given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these precious promises ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Now notice the last phrase. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So we get to escape. Our world is messed up. Our world is in corruption, moral decay, rottenness, evil, wickedness, filth. And we get to escape. Our world promotes moral decay. Our world celebrates moral decay. Our world lifts up moral decay. And he says, you can't escape. The word corruption, if you look it up, it means the condition of a corpse. So you can escape that which kills you. Listen to me, teenager. You can escape that which will ruin your life. Listen to me, father. You can escape that which the devil paints as so rosy that will kill, steal, and destroy your life. You can escape it. Look back at the verse. Escape the corruption that is in this world through lust. My lust gets me into all that stuff. I want it. I want more of it. I want it now. And it leads me to corruption. It leads me to death. It leads me to destruction. And the only hope for getting out of it. Promises of God. So I come to you. Question number one. Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? Where you realize, Jesus, you died on the cross for my sin. In my place, you took my hell and you offered me your heaven. Jesus, I take you as my Savior. Listen, if you've never accepted Jesus, these promises mean nothing to you. You can be a church member. You can go to Sunday school. You can be baptized. But if you have not accepted Jesus, these promises do not apply. Therefore, as children. But if you have accepted Jesus, you don't have to be controlled by anger. Listen, Father, you don't have to be controlled by lust. Listen, young person, you don't have to be controlled by greed. Listen to me, ma'am. You don't have to be controlled by fear. You don't have to be controlled by worry. You don't have to be controlled by the fear of man because you have these exceeding great and precious promises that are to those that understand and know and accepted Jesus, and they are for you. And listen, when they come to you, they take you, a mere human, and they give God in your life. That's what some of our marriages need. Jesus to show up and do something miraculous, do something supernatural, do something heavenly that you could never do. You say, how do I get it? You're in chapter 1, verse 4. Look back up at verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Look back up at verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have, see the next word, obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You don't attain it. You don't work for it. You don't earn it. You can't merit it. You receive it. You receive Jesus the same way you receive the precious promises. So listen, this is earth-shattering. You got financial issues. Jesus, you promised me this, and I accept it by faith into my life. You got family issues. Jesus, you promised this, and I accept that promise for me personally into my life, and I claim it, and I'm basing my destiny, my financial well-being on that verse that you have given to me. Listen to me. God does not want us to live defeated lives. God doesn't want us going moping and groping and complaining and being miserable. He wants us living by the book. He wants us to be in His Word every day. But it's not just a skimming. It's something, God, what's your message for me today? God, what's your promise for me today? God, what are you telling me today for my situation? It's available to you. Listen to me. Some of you never open your Bible. Oh, you bring it to church and that's good, and you open it in church. But it's just a church book. It's not your book. And if you want these precious promises to change your life, you got to start reading. God, I was reading it this morning. And God had a word for Neil Jackson. God spoke deep into my soul and said, Neil Jackson, you're wrong in that area. Neil Jackson, that area of your life is not right. This morning, 6 o'clock, I'm reading my Bible. And He says, hey, here's hope. Here's a promise. If you will allow me to work, if you will allow me to cleanse, if you will allow me to purify, that sin in your life can be gone. Neil Jackson, this book is for you today. Will you receive it? And friend, if I never opened up my Bible, oh, I'm going to get it at church. I'm going to get it in Sunday school. I don't need it today. I wouldn't have got that promise. It's available to you. What are you going to do with it? Someone told me the story a couple of months ago about one gentleman in this community. His wife is in the nursing home. Been married for decades. And she's got that horrible disease called Alzheimer's. And she's not there anymore. Oh, her body's there, but all of her memory, all of her communication skills are gone. And yet this man comes every day bringing her some kind of food, some kind of sweet, some kind of gift. And he just sits there beside a woman that he made a vow to that doesn't even remember him. They told me that one of the nurses went to him and says, hey, why do you come every day? She doesn't know if you're here. You don't have to be doing this. Nobody will know. This is what he said. I'll know. I made a vow to her, and I'll remember my vow. And this is what he said. I'm going to keep my promise till the day she dies. Friend, listen to me. That's our God. That's our God. He's made a promise to you. Listen to me. For those heartache times, for those difficult times, for those times you say, I'm just not strong enough to handle this scenario. God says, I've made a promise for you, for that scenario. Just take it. Just embrace it. Just stand upon it. Just lean upon it. It is for you. My question, what are you going to do with His promises that He's given to you? Ignore them or embrace them?